That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
that old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has rolled around again. We say good morning to you, the remnant out there. And we say good morning to you, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And again, good morning, Remnant. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. It is time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we've got our coffee, and we've got our Wranglers, and we've got you, the Remnant. And we are broadcasting to you live this Saturday morning, 26th of January, coming to you from the Radio Ranch, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. Hadn't even got a sunrise up yet this morning, but it's coming, and we're here. We'll have the phone lines open today, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in and share some comments. I know there's lots going on, in the news, lots going on, just everywhere. But we'll start out with a word of prayer. Kyle, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
Sure. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you this morning, and we ask for your protection today, and we ask for your guidance and direction by your Holy Spirit. And we just ask for a bigger dose of that comforter of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to watch over us, watch over the remnant out there in these troubled days and troubled times. And we just ask you to be with us and be with our words and our thoughts, and let us be a blessing to you, Lord, and let us serve you day and night, Lord, like we've never served you before as the day approaches. Let us cling to you, and let us ask you to keep us. Keep us from the devil. Keep us from ourselves, Lord, from separating from you through sin. And we just ask it in the blessed holy name of that precious blood that died on the cross for us. That son that you gave us that hung on a tree for our shame, Lord, and we just thank you for it, and we just ask it to be activated, Lord, and just be with us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I had a Bible verse to start with this morning, and I think it kind of applies to where we're at as a people today. And it's Psalms 83:3. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. And I just can't help but think that's where we're at today.
That sure describes it pretty good.
We see that...
Nothing new under the sun. They've been doing it for a while.
Yes. Yes, they have. Seems like they might be... they once again seem to be putting in a... might be a type of military coup. I noticed on the headlines in the news this morning, they, I guess, replaced the head, whoever he was, the head Marine general or something. And that's something that this administration seems like that... they do on a fairly regular basis anymore, just rotating people in and out.
Oh yeah, they got to get them. Did you ever see them putting anybody that better than the last guy in there? That's what you used to look for. But
yeah.
It seems like with all this rotating right now, the next guy is going to be a lot worse than the last guy.
Yeah, I think that when you look at it over. A period of time, especially coupled with, this last thing that the military guy threw in about allowing women in combat, as he just left out. And we're talking about two different positions there, but it's not getting any better there. I think it is a type of a coup. It's just not an overnight. It's not an overnight changing of the guard, so to speak. They understand that they take their time. They take 6 months or 6 years to rotate people through and to slowly work their people into those positions.
Yeah, it's that slow boiling of the frog, I think, if you take a generation, whatever generation is, whether it's 20 years or 40 years, it will seem like, when you look back, that it did happen overnight. But as far as the people that's living through it, it's kind of a slow boiling of the frog type thing, where they're just turning the heat up a little bit more every hour, and it's burning some up, because they're not able to jump out.
Well, even you look it back 4 years ago. 4 years ago, when we were having the before the election. There was still people that were making decisions based on candidates' stand on homosexuality.
Right.
Now and there was people that were voting against him because this person promotes an alternative death style. And now you look at it, and people are just openly supporting it. And that's 4 years.
Yeah.
And they're actually running on it as part of their campaign.
Well, Obama, the abomination, the mongrel that's up there, I think we've talked about it before, but I'll put it out to the remnant. If you didn't catch his inauguration speech, you should go back and look at it online and read it. And he talks about that, until all of our homosexual brothers and sisters enjoy the same rights that we do. And that basically says that I think that he wants us to die just like he knows they're going to die. And that's the first time a president has openly, recognized that. They're trying as hard as they can to, I like how you put that, Jason, to bring that alternative death style into mainstream America, and they've really done a pretty good job of it. I think they, in their circles anyway, they still get caught up in fences out here at times.
Yeah, they, you know, and sometimes it seems like it's a long period of time, but, you know, and things are changing in a slow pace. But you look back what's happened over the last 4 years, and just in, you know, in Canada, how many people we've turned over in Washington.
Yeah.
How many things have changed just as a nation in the way people are looking at things. It is absolutely amazing. Things are going, are moving fast.
They are. They are. And when you go back and look through history and you see how Nazi Germany did it, how Stalin's Russia did it, you know, before they actually started firing guns and shooting people, these were the things that they did. They slowly moved this general here and that general there, and, well, it's time for you to retire. And I'm not a big one on military history, but I've read enough to at least be able to see that's what they're doing. You know.
And before those chess moves or whatever you want to call them took place, they start separating the people from their God, you know, and that's done through sin, you know, and that's been going on, whether it started through comedy or whatever it started through, whatever means it started through, to get to this place where homosexual is not only accepted, it is, you know, I mean, you're the bad guy if you talk against it. They did a great job of doing their job, and that is separating the people from their God. You know, I mean, I forget who it was years ago that the pastor used to always quote, said, America is good. You know, America is great because it is good. You know, and when America stops being good, that's when it'll stop being great. And boy, has that came out, you know, in the last 2 years.
Yes. Yes, it has. Well, we have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in. Jason, I want to say thanks for, you had a great broadcast last night, and I wanted to thank you for sending me that that email link to that note about all the drones, the unmanned aircraft.
Oh, yeah, isn't that interesting?
That are coming in. What was it,
30,000.
30,000 drones being ordered or already ordered.
Already ordered.
For basically domestic use.
Yeah, that basically will put 10 per county all across the United States.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And these new drones are pretty crazy. They fly at basically 5,000-foot elevation. They got the cameras on them that are just out of this world. They can zoom in, and they got thermal imaging on them. They got night vision on them, and they're amazing what they can do. They can travel at 80 miles an hour, and they say that they can look in through windows, and they can read your license plate. And actually, to watch them fly these things around, reading people's license plate, talk about invasion of privacy.
Yeah. I saw that. Old video you sent me, and then there was another link for another one, and it went on. It's talked about down, I think, in either Arizona or New Mexico, where they were training these pilots flying these drones, and so they're showing it, and the major in the Air Force is saying, yeah, and see right here, we're tracking this vehicle, and you can see this vehicle, and the reporter says, is that a civilian vehicle? And he says, yes. And he says, so you're tracking this civilian vehicle without their knowledge. And the guy says, well, he stops. He says, they don't know that we're watching them. And he says, but now we don't have any, you know, this is for training. We're just training these people here. They don't know we're watching them, but we're just training the pilots here to track a moving vehicle. And the people don't get it. They don't get it. Well, guys, the phone lines are ringing. Let's go to the phone lines for a little bit. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, this is Ralph from Missouri.
Well, good morning, Ralph. How are things in Missouri?
Oh, business is up. Health, family's healthy, and Jesus is king. So everything's great.
Amen. Amen.
Everything's great.
Well, good. Ralph, what's kind of the, what do you see as the kind of the feel down in there? I know you travel a good little bit in your community there and see a bunch of different people. And, you know, we've talked before, the guys out here, how, and Jason mentioned it, I think, again last night on this program, how the 22 bullets have just disappeared off the shelves and as well as a lot of other ammo, and that seems certainly different than what we've seen in the past. How do you see things there in the Midwest?
You can't find a 22 shell. There's an occasional box of the specialty kind of ammo, and it's no one seems to buy it, so I don't know if it's different than others. That's what I keep seeing on the shelves, the same place. I'm figuring it's not the long rifle I'm seeing. I talked to a pawn shop that I get some of my ammo from, and he says he's afraid to even buy it because he's afraid he'll get stuck with it, and the price will go up, and then it'll come down and get stuck with it. So if you don't have it, you ain't getting it right now around here.
Wow. It's kind of I think we're kind of seeing that everywhere.
Yeah.
I didn't get to town yesterday, but I called our local Walmart, China Mart, however you want to call it, and talked to the person back in sporting goods, and yeah, they had one box of 22 shorts, and that was all the 22 ammo they had. And
that's probably what I've been seeing on the shelves. I'm not they're just as bare as can be. Everyone I've walked into probably about six or seven in the last week from traveling around, and they're all the same. And the only thing that's on the shelves is the high dollar ammo with the Winchesters, and that's it.
Hmm. Well,
but there's a gun show here in the town this weekend. I was hoping to get to this morning, but I forgot about a prior commitment. So I think I'm going to go tomorrow and just kind of take a look and see what people are saying and what's going on. I imagine if there's anything there worth value, a three-day show will already be gone. But I was just curious to see. I know that they had to change the location of the show because of attendance. It was the place they've been having. It wasn't big enough, so they changed it so they could hold the amount of people they were anticipating.
Wow.
But I haven't had a single, I haven't heard a single comment down here in the Ozarks anywhere of someone for a weapons ban of any kind. I've been finding people that don't even believe in the official story of what happened at this Sandy Hook. And that really has surprised me, because most people I talk to always think I'm crazy.
Huh.
So I think people's eyes are waking up, that the cloud's coming off, that prayers are definitely working. I read our paper this morning, and here's a quote from our sheriff. When I take office, I put my hand on the Bible and vow to uphold the Constitution, he said. Executive orders do not change the Constitution or our Second Amendment rights. And then he also quoted, the Constitution laws are what we will uphold. So that's a little promising. I don't know if that man's got the guts to stick to what he said, but at least he said it publicly.
Yeah, there's a perfect example of somebody who I would bet would uphold the Constitution before they upheld the biblical rights. You know, they quote both of them. They quote your constitutional rights, but they also quote that he puts his hand on the Bible and swears it in. Which woman do you think he puts in higher regard?
I know which one he does.
Yeah.
It's his Baal. I've been trying to tell people this is a religious argument, not a constitutional argument, and keep quoting Luke 22:36 to them. And people are receiving me. I'm not getting anybody saying we're crumb crazy or whatnot, and just telling them the commandments of our king was to arm ourselves, and and only two are what we really need to have. So don't get too caught up on being stocked up on anything and everything. As long as you have two and you're capable of using them, that you've obeyed the command of your king.
Yeah, well put. Well put. Well, Ralph, thanks so much for taking time out to call. Let us know next week how that gun show goes. Maybe give us a call next week and let us know. I think we've got one coming up in a week or two, and it's going to be interesting to see what is there and what's not there.
There was one in Springfield last weekend, the weekend before, and it broke records for attendance. They said over 10,000 people showed.
Wow.
I didn't even begin to go to that one because that's the biggest one in the area, and I knew that I wouldn't be able to even get to the door. let alone how to deal with all those people. But I was curious to want to go up there, but I decided not to.
You know, we got a letter in last week, and of course it takes a couple weeks to get here, but we got a letter in last week from a person in Virginia that they did that. They were going to try to go to a local gun show, and when they got there, there was an hour and a half wait to get in. The line was so long. And so, yeah, they couldn't attend. So I think
I know that if you want a good perspective, a man that goes to a lot of them would be our brother Bill in Kentucky. So from what I've talked to him, he went to one, and he said there was tons of people and just buy anything and everything. From what he was saying, he said that him and his daughter Abby, they had came out pretty well ahead as opposed to what they do with most gun shows.
Right.
That was one in Kentucky a few weeks back as well, too, since the shooting.
Wow. Well, Ralph, thanks a lot. You have a great weekend, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next week.
All right. Talk to you later, brother.
Thank you. And still got a phone line ringing. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for holding.
Yes.
Yeah, good morning.
This is Dan from Minnesota.
Hey, Dan.
Last week you spoke about Deuteronomy 23, thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Remember that?
Well, I remember somebody asking about it.
Yes. Well, that was discussed in this the Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 8, for 2005. And in simplicity, I could say that if you look up Strong's and Strong's Concordance, number 130, and number 130 is an Edomite, but that same number 130 directs you to number 726, and that says a clerical error for number 130, an Edomite. And it should have said, it really should say, a Syrian instead of an Edomite. So that's, and if you go to the newsletter, it gives much greater detail about what that's talking about. And that's just what I thought.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us. I know we, lots of stuff in those newsletters. Hard to remember just where each and everything is, but Volume 8, 2005.
It's something that stuck in my mind, and I just wanted to get it out there for somebody that might be concerned about that.
Okay.
I just love your program. I listen to you every Saturday, and thank you for being there for the remnant out here. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Have a great weekend. Yeah, I had a call, yesterday, Thursday, I think, and, you know, you kind of, along these same lines, it's, you know, what newsletter was it in where the pastor listed all the references of hating our enemy? And, you know, these Dragon Slayers have been going out for, what, 10 years now? Almost 10 years, about 8 years, I guess, and then, of course, the newsletters for 20-plus years. And, you know, I'm sorry, I'm still looking for that one. I couldn't find, didn't know right off the top of my head exactly what newsletter it was where this person asked that the pastor listed all the references where we're to hate our enemies. So that might take a little searching, but good to hear that there. Well, we were talking about those massive drones that they're bringing in. And, you know, I can't help but think when I know, Jason, you were talking about those things flying up at several thousand feet, but I know some of the smaller ones, I remember reading, was it in, I don't know if it was in California or back east, that this, this Sierra Club type organization had one, and they were flying it around some type of gun club or something. And the guys at the gun club just shot it down. And that kind of caused a little uproar. You remember hearing about that? I think it was maybe last year. And
That was, they were taken off with it, and there were some shooters, supposedly duck hunters off to the side there, and they shot it down right away when it was taken off. Hmm. These new ones, they tried shooting them down, and at that elevation, at that speed, it makes it rather difficult. I'm sure it can be done, but they... the thing that they don't tell you too is how many people that are, how many women and children these things have killed. I think the count is so far that U.S. drones in the last 4 years have killed 276 children in these drone strikes that we've had outside the United States. You know, and if they're doing that outside the United States, you know, what makes people think that they're not going to do it in the United States?
Right.
Or at least try to.
Well, I know that
I saw a good quote that the other day that was talking about these drones, and it said, you know, even Al Capone wouldn't hit a car if it had children, women or children in it. And, you know, here's 276 that came from direct orders of the president to go ahead and make the strikes.
Yeah. Well, when you have a military that doesn't think twice about putting women on the front lines in combat, and doesn't think twice about putting filthy faggots, letting them marry and just be out in the open in their military. Why wouldn't they strike women and children?
Yeah, why wouldn't they? That's what it boils down to. That shows you how far down we've gone as a nation.
Right.
And not even to the, you know, the women and the children. You look at, have you looked at any of this FEMA Corps youth?
I did see they graduated their first class back in the fall.
Yep.
I did
September
see that.
September 13th, 2012.
And that's just Hitler youth all over again.
Yep.
It truly is. What, 18 to 23-year-olds? Well, these people have nothing else to do. You know, they have to, they've got their, and I think that that's targeting the people that, you know, they couldn't quite make it in the military, for one reason or another. And they're out there with no jobs. And so, yeah, why wouldn't the president just form his own little, brown shirt army, the beginning of it anyway. To come out and to help us when we have disasters, to help us when the river floods and when the tornado comes and things like that.
Brown shirts, they all look brown, too.
Yeah.
Not a white one in there.
Yeah. But, you know, we truly are doomed to repeat our history if we don't learn from it. And, you know, that was something all throughout the Bible story when you read it. That was what the prophet had to do first, was he had to tell the people who they were, and he had to remind them of what they had done in the past. And, you know, that was sure something that our pastor did. It was to tell the people who they were and to look to that Bible to see these stories of old, because they're given there for our learning, and so that we can learn from them and not repeat them. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning. This is George. I just wanted to call you guys. Hey, I had heard that guy that just called in about that verse. I just wanted to let him know I appreciated that.
Sure.
I've been studying it a little bit, and like you said, I prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to lead me to the understanding of it, and I did some cross references and stuff, and I thought I had it figured out, and then he came up with the Syrian part. Now I guess I'm going to have to study it a little bit more and see if I can find the meaning a little bit more to it.
Sure.
So, but I just wanted to call him and thank the guy for saying that.
Well.
And as far as the drones go, I was on the internet and I typed in Google Earth, and I know that it's not like real time or anything, but I can pretty much go across town and get on my dad's land and pretty much sit and look at his front porch. So that's
crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So Dad, if you're sitting on your porch, wave at me. No, I'm just kidding, but
well, you know, George,
yeah,
they've updated that so much. I've noticed it out here. Now, we're out in the country. We're 15 miles out of town. And, you know, we're not like it is in the Ozarks where you have a lot of people, or even back east in some of the bigger, more populated states. But we had a pretty good fire last year. You know, I don't know, 11,000 acres and here, and had a big one there in just outside of La Porte as well. And when you have those, they update Google Earth when you have those, you know, those big events like that. And I've noticed it here that before, you know, like a year ago, 2 years ago, you could look at the Google Earth and, you know, find, you know, whether it's the ranch or your house or whatever. And you know, it might have been 3 or 4 or 5 years old, the picture. Now they're less than a year old. They are updated quite a bit.
And there's probably going to be a time where they make it to where it's real time, where you can pretty much see what's going on right then and there. It wouldn't surprise me any.
Well, I think that's a thing we saw with these. I think that's the intent with these drones, is they've got it down to where they're so inexpensive. And then, and what was that, Jason? 3 per county across the country?
10
per county across the.
And they can cover a lot of space too.
The whole country, and that's just, to me, that's insane.
Yeah. Talk about privacy breach, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just like to say, I wanted to call and let you guys know I was listening. I appreciate that guy kind of studying it up for me, too. So I'm going to have to check out that newsletter and see if I can research it some more. So.
Okay, George. Well, if you need it, give us a call. We'll be glad to get, you know, see if we got one and send it out to you.
Okay, great. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Well, into January 26, 2013. You believe the first month of 2013 is already coming to an end?
That's hard to believe.
Time is just flying by.
It seems like these weeks just been going by so fast. Yesterday, it sure didn't seem like a Friday, and today sure don't seem like a Saturday. It just seems like the blink of an eye, and we were just here.
Yeah.
How's things in Kyle's neck of the woods?
About the same as they are in yours. I went to a few stores yesterday, as far as, you know, gun stores or whatever you want to call them. Outdoor stores, and it's the same out here on the West Coast as it is, you know, in Colorado, Wyoming. The shelves are bare, and the people, well, the spiritual condition of the people are it's just horrible. You know what I mean?
Have you noticed a change? Go ahead.
No, have you noticed that just kind of sickening to see it?
Yeah. Do you think, though, that you've noticed a change in people then?
Yeah.
And it's been a rather drastic change, hasn't it?
I think it has. I think it's been increased at such a level that I think, there was a time where it was a slow increase, but now I think it's just flying. The demonic influence, I think, is just it's just crazy out here. And it's just, when you see people, I talked to a few of the guys behind the counters, and I could just tell that, you know, it's, even though, they're for guns, and they're for our freedoms, and you could just tell that their spiritual condition was just not where it should be. You know, they were just all, well, it's such a me world. It just has destroyed the, you know, to where now it's destroyed everything about every phase of the world. You know, I suppose it's going to get worse. I can't imagine it getting worse, but it's just hard to see, that it's such a godless society. And, you know, well, it's just like, you know, I can hear the callers very good, but I think it's just being that way all over the country, that the spiritual condition of the people is just so bad that even those that want their gun rights and stuff, it's not where it should be. You know, the emphasis is not where it should be. It's more on a selfish, you know, selfish motivation type thing.
I have to agree with you.
It's like their eyes are glazed over with sin.
Yeah.
And that's
exactly what it is. You know, that is what has always separated people from God, is sin, and it's what's going to continue to, is they wake up in the morning to serve their flesh and only their flesh, and it has separated them from their God. You know, and they don't even understand. I mean, it's to the point now they don't even understand that they've been raised that way. Society crams that down their throat all the time, that to be their own God and all that type of stuff. And they can't see what's right in front of their face, you know. And it's just disheartening, I guess, is the best word to say.
Yeah, it is. Well, guys, we've got some callers. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, the Wranglers. This is Timmy from Maine. Some thoughts. One, Hitler was a hardcore Marxist. He was not a conservative. And this modern-day Hitler Youth will be farther left than ordinary communism. And a lot of these gun owners, and those who are worried about losing their gun rights, believe me, they're going to be the first to give up their guns. They're not, many of them are not Christians. They're very selfish and callous. And the NRA is not a solid gun group. It's really a communist front. They sided with Sarah Brady years back. And also, one thing we need to do, we need to pray hard and purgatory prayers. I've been praying the last month or so that the door handles of the city, town, village halls, county courthouses are electrified so that any a group of fags who come in to get licenses, a million volt shocks go through them, and I pray that all those politicians who sanctioned fag marriage, who allowed those halls to be open on God's Sabbath days, I pray that God 109s them, especially here in the Bangor area.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks, Tim.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the call. I think he's on the right track. We've got to recognize this abomination for what it is. It's sin, and then we have to come against it. We'll stay with the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, it's Kevin in Ohio. I read a post on the internet that's really will show you the warfare is headed our way. It's titled "The Creaking Noise You Hear in." Is the walls closing in on far-right patriots, Christian identity groups, and other state enemies. And it's a study by the U.S. military. They do things like describe a Tea Party as a low-level terrorism. And number one on their list, focus centers on white supremacist, Aryan, Christian identity groups, anyone purporting the Constitution.
Finally.
And Federalist groups and...
Finally, we're back number one on the list.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah,
praise the Lord. Study. Thank you, Lord. We're back number one on the list. Man, it can only get better from here.
Amen.
Well, you know, Kevin, I think that ties in with just what Kyle was saying, that, you know, it's the sin that separated the people, and so it's only the people turning back to God that's going to save them.
And, amen.
And
that's so.
I think this is another push in that direction for
this
his
people. How they're training. This study is for training all military officers, Army officers. It's a study, and that's how they're tested. So it never goes away. And this will be a heat year, and it will be a hot year. God bless you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks.
That's I don't know if that's the article that came out of, I saw a thing that came out of West Point just a week or two ago that was along those lines. And yeah, our enemy doesn't sleep. They continue on.
You know, and they lie about so many different groups too.
to. You just it gets to the point where you don't know what to believe. Like we were talking last night on the radio, it's pretty much if you go ahead and take the opposite view of what they have, you might be pretty close, and on it don't matter on just about any subject.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with what Timmy said. We'll be surprised the first ones that cave, you know, and turn in their guns. And I mean, I think we will actually be shocked, you know, at some of these guys that they're out in the forefront now. And, you know, it's just like it's always been. They're working for the other side and people don't understand it. And, you know, I'm a Christian Israelite, you know, I mean, I don't call myself identity or anything else, but I am a Christian Israelite, and if the state hates me, because of that, then, hey, I'm an enemy of the state. I have, you know, big deal. You know, I mean, I could care less, you know, I could care less if I'm the enemy of the demonic bum that's sitting out on the street, you know, I mean, but there's going to be a lot of people that act like they're patriots, they act like this and that, you know, but when it all boils down to it, they do care, and, you know, and they're the ones that's going to be in fear and trembling, you know, and not fearing the God that created them, but they're fearing and trembling the state and the government and everybody else, and, you know, don't follow them. Don't follow the scapegoat or the Judas goat, you know, because all they're going to do is lead you into more captivity.
Right. Yep. Well, the Bible tells us that if we love him, we will be hated by the world. And just that simple Bible fact there, if the people would recognize that, you know, that, yeah, this ungodly government, this demonic government that is ruling over us, there should be enmity between them and us. If we obey the word, if we follow Jesus Christ, that hatred is going to be there. You're going to be an enemy of the state. And if you're not, then you're an enemy of Christ. You get to choose who you're going to be the enemy of. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard. Calvin here.
Well, good morning, Calvin.
It's been a while since I had a chance to talk and let you know how bright I am. Anyhow, I was listening to Solutions last night, and the thought came to my mind. I've had, you know, the normal thing that happens when you're trying to, as we say, witness, and the glazed over look, or the look is don't bother me with the important stuff. But I thought about the sowing that Christ made reference to. Since the Holy Spirit is the one that calls anyone to repentance, that we are to sow 30, 60, or 90, 100-fold return, and if we just scatter the seed, the good news that there is a God in heaven, his son came to earth, lived, died, was buried, rose again, so that we could be bought back. And now we go back to, I think it's probably chapter 12 of Genesis, Abraham. And I was doing a little study on the word fair in the 1828 dictionary. And one of the first meanings of the word fair, since Sarah was fair, according to the Bible, that meant she was white. And the white Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian race is the chosen people that God decided that I'm going to choose you guys. Not because you're better or more, but just because you're probably the smallest race. And I want you to stay clean. I don't want you to intermarry. I don't want you to be fooling around. But stay so that your witness is true, that you serve a God that will give you results from your witnessing. And I don't know how else to approach it in these days, because there's so much anger or so much lack of care and so much fear brought out. These people, these so-called Jews or Edomites, Babylonian trained, they have no hope. Christ said, how are you going to escape the death sentence? He told them over and over, the Pharisees, the Babylonian Pharisees. And so if they have no hope, this is their best ride, and their idea is to take as many with them as they can.
Yes.
That's about it.
Good point.
Thanks for the good information that you guys are bringing out. I appreciate it, and have a blessed day, man.
Talk yeah, thanks later. For calling, Cal.
Thanks, Cal. You too. I think Calvin brings up a good point. You know, it does go back to Abraham, and to the promises that were made to his descendants, and that's us. But there's also a promise made to the entire world, and that is through Abram's seed, the whole world, the whole earth will be blessed. And it has been his descendants that have taken the blessings of God to the rest of the world. It's his descendants that have translated the Bible into almost to literally every known, every written language that there is. And they're still, you know, they're still out there translating the Bible into languages that people just speak to some of the some of the Aboriginal tribes and things like that. You know, Abraham's seed is still doing that, taking the gospel to all the corners of the world.
Well, and I want to take a step back real quick. Is,
sure.
You know, one thing that we've been talking about was, you know, time and just how fast things have been taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's pretty obvious that, you know, we live pretty sheltered lives. And I think that even that goes for a lot of the remnant that's out there. Even being amongst the world, the Lord can have a way of sheltering you where you
yes.
don't see these things on an everyday basis. And I thought about the scripture found in Mark 13:19. It says, "For those days will be of a time of tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of creation, which God created until now and never will." Verse 20 says, "Unless the Lord had shortened those days, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days." And when you shorten a day, it goes by faster. And I think that that's exactly what's been taking place. It went to the next level. It's been seeming like that for a while, that the days were getting shorter. But I think that at least for me here, I know that it was turned up and they were shortened even a little bit more, because the days are a little shorter now.
Yeah,
and to go along with kind of a next to that verse in my Bible, I got Romans 8:33-34 written down, where it says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us?" You know, so we have that hope, you know, that Calvin was talking about, and that, you know, the other side don't have that, but we have to cling to that. We have to claim that, you know, I mean, because really it doesn't matter what any website, any list, any whatever, it doesn't matter who charges us with anything, because, you know, we are God's elect if we claim that, you know, and that's not a boast. That's just something that we should be claiming every day, you know, as the I Ams or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is, and it's because he hears his people. He hears the cries and the prayers of his people, and he answers them. He does. Let's go back to the
phones. Proverbs 10:27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened."
Mm-hmm.
So it's a two-way street.
Yes.
It goes both ways.
That's a good, healthy fear to have. Amen to that. Well, let's try the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee.
Richard, I forgot to add on the little talk I had there a few minutes ago that in the Abrahamic covenant, that it this basically tells us, and this really bothers the people because they're so used to tolerance, that the laws, the statutes, and judgments were given only to us. And it's reiterated back, I think, in Psalm 147, that his statutes, judgments, and laws were only given to us, the chosen race, and by that fact, then we are to go out and witness to the rest of the world, and that way God has a right to choose whoever he wants to bring his message to, and we should be thankful. But remember also that Christ cautioned us. He says, you know, there's going to be a day when they'll put you to death and think they're doing God a favor.
Right.
So that's that two-way street again you guys are talking about.
Absolutely.
Look up and continue when Jesus said, and this is my motto every day, when I return, will I find faith? And man, I just, if there's no other anchor, is I know he lives, and that's it. I'll say good morning, men.
Thanks a lot, Cal. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it is.
It is. And his laws, his statutes, his judgments, his responsibility, it was given to his people. And that's why, you know, and we've talked about it before, that's why you have to be a full Testament Christian. You can't just start there at Matthew and just read the New Testament. And you if you do that, you don't understand Christ. You can't understand, like Cal said, back the original covenant, that the laws, statutes, and judgments were given to his people. And then it was his people that were sold for nothing and that were to be redeemed without money. And that's, you know, one of the many things that Christ came for was to redeem his people. We don't read that he came to redeem the Zulus or the Chinese, because that's not...
Well, it's actually impossible for him to redeem them, because redeem means to buy back.
Right.
And if you weren't his in the beginning, then, you know, I mean,
you weren't,
but people don't understand that.
No,
you know, but,
no, they don't understand the parable of the treasure in the field. You know, it seems so plain and simple when you have your eyes open, if you've been baptized and you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is what baptism, one of the many things that baptism gives you. And then you can see that that parable. You can understand that parable of the treasure in the field. That yeah, he purchased the whole field to get his treasure.
Yep. And another thing is what people don't seem to understand, and I'm just talking about the church world out there, is the Old Testament, the old book, is about faith. I mean, when you get right down to it, when you're reading Hebrews, the Faith Hall of Fame in chapter 11, you're reading about people from the old, you know, and then on the contrary, the new one, the new covenant, the New Testament, however they want to put it, is about the laws of God being put on your heart and your mind. So they take the obvious and they, you know, they make it convoluted. It's all perverted to where they do away with things they shouldn't be doing away, and they add things they shouldn't be adding in both. You know, I mean, because, you know, when you read about Abraham and his faith, it's unlike any faith we see now in this day, you know. But yet it's known as not being a faith, you know, being about faith, and then of course the new covenant is known not being about law, but when you get right down to it, it is about law. It's about the laws of God being on your heart and your mind, which is a way better place to have it than on a tablet of stone. You know, but yet it's perverted out there to where, you know, they call good evil and evil good, so I guess what do you expect? But
yeah, it is much better what we have now. And I think, Kyle, over the last several months, you've done a good job of bringing that out, of showing the people the difference between the law and grace. That, yeah, the law is good. And the law is needed, but we certainly have to have that grace that he offered.
Otherwise, we'd all be dead.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. Well,
you know, you look at a lot of people, though, it really puts things in perspective, because you see a lot of people that want grace to be extended to them, but they sure don't extend any to anybody. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
People crying for, oh, grace, we need mercy. But when somebody does something to them, boy, they're usually most of the time the first ones to want the death penalty.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Bible's clear about that. You know, it's basically, as you judge, you shall be judged. It doesn't tell us not to judge, but it says, as you judge, you will be judged. You know, and as you sow, so shall you reap. And his people would do very well to hear just what you said, Jason, and to take it to heart. Well, guys, we're almost out of time. Want to make sure we put an invitation out and invite the remnant to come to church with us tomorrow. Yeah, real men don't go to church, but they can come to church with us. We invite you tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 Central, and noon on the East Coast. You can attend church with us by just going to the internet. Go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org, and you can tune in. We'll have a scriptural insight and study to start things out, a little simple Bible study, and then we'll have a welcome by the Ramrod. He'll share a scripture verse or two with you. We'll have some good music. Shane and I should be there leading some praise and worship music. We'll have a communion service. And, you know, each and every Sunday that we get together and have that communion, that I see throughout the week just how important that is, to come and to confess your sins before God, and to ask Him to help you do better the next week than you did last week. And then we'll certainly have a good, I'm not even going to ask Jason what the sermon's going to be tomorrow, because he won't tell me anyway. So you just have to come to church and find out, just like we do. And so we do that. We invite you to come to church with us tomorrow, and you won't be disappointed if you do. Well, men, thanks for joining us. Got a song the pastor did by one of the Circuit Riding Preacher songbooks to go out with today. Again, thanks for joining us, men. Thanks for joining us, Remnant. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
God of my childhood, to the same simple faith as a child I once knew. Like the prodigal son, I long for my loved ones, for the comfort of home, and the God I outgrew. I have returned to the God of my childhood, Bethlehem's babe, the prophet's Messiah. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name, I have returned. I have returned to the God of my mother with unfailing faith for the child of her heart. She said, bring them up the way that you want them. Thank God when they're grown, they'll never depart. I have returned to the God of my mother. I learned at her knee, he's lily of the valley. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name. I have returned. I have returned to the God of my father, the most godlike man a child could know. I just heard a shout from the angels in glory, praising the Lord. A child has come home. return to the God of my Father, Creator of heaven and earth, God of the universe. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name. I have returned. I have returned to the Jesus of Judah. On my knee I did fall, where the wall now stands. This lesson I learned as I worked my way homeward. The Savior of all is a comfort to man. I have returned to the Father of Abraham, the Shepherd of Moses, who called him the great I am. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name. I have returned. I have returned to the Father of Abraham, the Shepherd of Moses, who called him the great I am. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. He's Jesus to me. I have returned. He's Jesus to me. I have returned.